Now on today's program, a little bit of a break.
Oh.
We're finally over the whole Transformers thing,
we're
I believe.
Just done with
just
all
done
of it.
With it. Thank God.
Until the Bumblebee movie comes out.
And then we'll be back. we'll Bumblebee back. But until then, my God, it's been a long time since I've seen this movie. It's Air Force One on We Hate Movies. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to our fine podcast, as always. This week, like we mentioned up top, it's Air Force One, directed by Wolfgang Peterson from the grand year of 1997. I got to tell you right up front, solid hangover movie, kind of a WLM situation here.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. Yeah. On both. Well, it's really just... It's Ford and Oldman. That's why you're here. You know what I mean? You're just like, sure, this is great. And it's just them kind of doing like a community theater production of Die Hard, essentially.
Well, I got to admit, I'm kind of here for Xander Berkeley and William H. Macy. Come on.
It's Butch William H. Macy, by the way. He's like all tough and rough and tumble.
Well, I'm a general. I'm a general, goddammit. My wife's in the back of Air Force One with an ass in her cock. I'm a tiny general.
But this was totally sold as like Die Hard on a plane.
Oh, totally.
But get this, John McClane's president.
So this movie starts with like what you would call, like it's like almost when you watch a movie and it has the fake movie opening. It's like a fake action movie. I was waiting for something to go, cut!
Yeah, totally. And you know, it was like the annoyance at some of the stuff in this movie. This movie's 2 hours and 8 minutes, by the way, longer than Star Wars.
Ever loving minutes.
And you know where you could cut some of this out? This first shot where you can't even tell what's going on. It's just like fake animated paratroopers like coming down. And I'm staring at the TV like, what are they doing? What is this? Like, it'd been so long since I've seen this movie. And I was like, oh, it's dudes. Oh, they're in parachutes. Oh, why have I spent so long not being able to tell what this is?
Yep.
Like, you can cut that right down.
The first line should be, welcome to Air Force One.
Yep.
Here's your seat, Mr. President.
This is establishing the reasons for revenge.
Oh, right. You
know? Which also, this whole thing is kind of a rip. Speaking of Die Hard, this is Die Hard 2.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So what happens is these dudes come in. These are American forces.
I believe they're Navy SEALs.
Yes. Yeah. They come in. Maybe SEAL Team 5.
Special Ops.
Yeah. I mean, this is 1997, so it was before SEAL Team 6.
Right. Oh, is that how that works? Is that
the I don't know.
Every decade, they get another number. I know.
So these dudes jump in to, we're told it's Kazakhstan. They go into this palace or whatever and kidnap, of all people, Jurgen Prochnow now.
Oh, the Borat. That's where he is. Kazakhstan.
That's true, actually. Man, if Jurgen Prochnow was wearing that neon yellow bathing suit, that's what he sleeps in.
Very nice.
But it's a great cameo because, of course, Jurgen Prochnow was in Wolfgang Peterson's Das Boot.
That is right.
So he's kidnapped, and then that's the end of that. And then we go, it's like 3 weeks later. We're in Moscow looking at that Krasnaya Plushad, man, that red square.
Ooh.
And it's a... It's a big old party. There's like a total big like dinner reception, and it's the president of Russia.
Boris Yeltsin.
This guy looks like Tom Sizemore. You better believe it. And so he's giving this speech. He's introducing President Harrison Ford. And in the crowd, there's an extra. It's not a character in the movie, unfortunately, but I swear to you, there's an extra in this dinner party scene that looks exactly like Rex Tillerson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Damn. Like, what are the odds?
Wayne Tractor.
I did a triple take.
And like the president, he's, what's his name? Marshall? President?
Jim Marshall, president of the United States, Notre Dame fan.
Wow.
I also like watching baseball.
That is like the perfect, they like built the perfect president. You
know? Dude, the man's name is Jim Marshall. He shits red, white, and blue. Can you imagine a more American name? A fucking Dick Hot Dog. Like that's
I would vote for Dick Hot Dog twice.
Dick Hot Dog.
Second term for Dick Hot Dog. Make it a foot long.
I feel like you would have a problem voting for Dick Hot Dog. Like, what's that guy up to?
Wasn't that...
You know what? His platform is delicious.
Mm. what was that fat man in Pixels that was president?
Chris Christie?
Kevin James.
Oh. Kevin James. Was that, he was Dick Hot Dog in that movie.
Yeah, he was. I mean, that's not his name, but he was eating hot dogs.
He was basically Dick Hot Dog.
I thought his name was Hot Dog.
His name is Veal Parmigiana.
Oh. Ooh, I don't know. It sounds a little Catholic for my taste.
But yeah, he's giving this speech, but he's got all the ground. Here's the thing is you got Harrison Ford as the president. That's my ticket. I don't care what's going to be on.
I would let him wear that little earring. I would vote for him.
Oh, yeah.
This, I mean, you'd vote for Harrison Ford if he ran for president.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And Jim Marshall.
Probably. Well, Jim Marshall is the dullest president you've seen in a while. He's just like, so it's so great to be in Russia, and I'm supposed to get this fucking award, but I got to tell you, we fucked up. He starts talking.
He's
about,
like, going off script, and all of his advisors are like, "Oh my god, he's going off script."
Now,
and
could you imagine such a thing? That's the thing is, I want a boring president.
Yes. Yeah, actually, that's true. I would like a fucking dull as dirt president hot dog. But he's basically criticizing America's efforts. I guess there's been a bunch of, like, you know, potential genocide or war crimes or whatever in Kazakhstan. They, you know, sat idly by and did nothing but, you know, just do sanctions after sanctions after sanctions on them, instead of going in and removing this man. So he's basically, it's this thing where he's like, you better be fucking afraid, terrorists, because I'm done with this bullshit. No more sanctions. Fucking bombs up your ass instead.
Somebody's going to street fight you.
Yeah.
I can punch you. My name is President Punch, and I will punch everyone.
President Punch.
Oh, he is kind of President Punch.
You know, I don't know. Now I'm thinking, like, in the debates, President, you know, Punch would beat Hot Dog.
Oh, absolutely.
Debates.
Oh, because can you imagine the headlines, too? Like, Punch TKO. He really won that debate?
Yes.
You're going to get punched. Hey, I'm going to punch you.
Hot dog bruised.
I really do think that we should just, anytime there's any kind of skirmish between two world leaders, just get him in the ring and see what happens. Slap fight, dude.
Yep. Yeah.
Slap fight.
Mm-hmm. Why not, right? Like, have, you know, you're fighting as tributes for your nation. Now, many men may live.
Exactly.
Right? Actually, you know what would be cool? I don't know what it's called, but we're catching up on episodes of Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown on Netflix, and we got this episode where he goes to Istanbul, and one of the things he goes to watch is these fucking dudes.
The Thunderdome?
It might as well be Thunderdome. These dudes oil each other up, and they do this like oil wrestling thing where they're like shoving their hands down the other guy's pants. Like,
what?
Dude, it is wild. And I think we're like grabbing dicks and stuff. Whoa. It's crazy. But
you twist a dick to like down your opponent? Is that the idea?
I think that's kind of the idea, dude.
Dick twisted?
So yeah, you get like, you know, whoever.
I have your hot dog, president.
Yeah.
Punch. That's how they fight each other.
That would be awesome.
That would be great.
But like, yeah, like we'll save millions of lives. Here we go. Let's get in there. Let's slap each other around. See what happens. First one who starts crying loses.
Saving lives, saving money. You know what? You know how much it costs? I mean, what's a bottle of oil, Steve?
38 cents.
Wait, they're selling it in bottles?
What? Yeah, like, you know.
Barrels, my friend.
Sexy oil.
Oh.
Not car oil.
Right.
Or we could do like that Star Trek, like, you know, those weird, get those weird axes at each other. And now we're just hacking each other to pieces.
Right, dude. Was it a muck time?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, we could go next gen route and have Worf's doing all his fucking bat left tournaments and whatnot. Get that shit going on.
We're just fucking laser tech. I don't know. Just like, let's just do it that way. Like, oh, sorry. That was solved by a game of fun laser tag.
Putin's administration was dismantled due to losing laser tag. I'd love that. Wow. That's so great.
Mm-hmm. Done.
I mean, how much does a blacklight thing cost? I mean, that's you're saving money left
and you're giving money to the Discovery Zone. They could co-sponsor it. We're putting money back into the economy.
Right. And we could stop voting for 70-year-olds.
That's also
true. Oh, yeah, you'd have to get someone virile and quick.
Exactly.
Now, here's a question. Personal experiences. How many of you guys had a birthday party at a laser tag place?
Oh, I did not.
Really?
By the way, Andrew, no one could see you raise your hand.
Oh, yeah, I guess that was pretty stupid.
I wish I did, though, but no. There was no laser tag near me.
Really? Yeah. Oh, it was great.
No, yeah, we didn't. We went to a Chuck E. Cheese light kind of place, but right. That was for other
light?
People.
Like, not like the off-brand?
It was like Adventure Zone or whatever.
You know? Rowdy Rats.
Yeah, exactly.
Rowdy Rats.
There's a Rowdy Rat?
No, Rowdy E. Rat.
So whatever. That's he makes this big speech. They're pretty confident he's going to change the world,
but everyone's shitting their pants because like this, they have a whole foreign policy, and this jackass just gets up and he's like, "Hey, I'm going to punch you. Hey, give me your face. I'm going to punch it."
Yeah, dude. it's sort of like so unimaginable. It's sort of like having like one of the biggest U.S. military bases in Qatar and then saying like it's good that they're being ejected from the international community. Yep,
it's like that.
And then doubling down on that and then yet selling them fighter jets afterwards.
Yep. Can you imagine if that happened?
I couldn't imagine.
It'd be crazy.
It'd be weird to have an unhinged lunatic president. It'd be really strange.
Now, here's an interesting thing. So we cut to the airport, and it's like, we got to get the fuck out of here. I'm sick and tired of this. Baseball's on. So we're trying to get wheels up on Air Force One. And
here's a question. Whenever Air Force One is docked, does that turn into Airport One? Like, is it always Airport One?
That's an interesting
like
idea.
Where you mean like the airport in where Air Force One is?
Yes.
Or is it like where it usually is?
Oh,
like,
is that Airport
it's
One?
Usually in, you know, the Ronald F. Hangar at
yeah, where do we keep that thing? Andrews Air Force Base?
I don't know. Do they
LaGuardia. It's always at LaGuardia.
That sucks.
No wonder it's a shithole.
So we get to this airport and we're doing like the security checks or whatever. We see this woman who's like White House PR kind of lady.
Sure.
And she's leading in. Here we go. Gary Oldman and his merry band of Ruskies. And we know they're the terrorists. Obviously, we saw the preview.
Yep.
And so they're posing as journalists who are going to interview the president of Air Force One. And this was my question. I don't know if this was like a bigger role and it was a deleted scene, but did you notice the dude at the security checkpoint?
I did.
Wait, what?
The dude who's the bad guy in Beverly Hills Cop 3?
You're going to have to be more specific. That's George Lucas, right?
What? No. The guy in Beverly Hills Cop 3 that's the bad guy.
Oh,
I know George Lucas has a cameo in that movie.
Well, whenever I see him, I think that's the bad guy.
No, but do you know who I'm talking about?
No, dude? No.
Axel. Hey, Axel. Hey, Axel. What do you think about having a little space adventure with me? It's way better than Detroit and certainly better than Los Angeles.
I call it the Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Oh, do you think he secretly wrote the Adventures of Pluto Nash?
I think it's like an Alan Smithy type of job.
Is this the same actor, Steve, that's in the first Ghostbusters? He's the Dana Barrett's orchestra companion?
Yep. I think so, yeah.
So this guy...
Wait, why? Okay, so why would I recognize him? That is the most boring looking guy.
I don't know. Am I the only one in this room who's seen Beverly Hills Cop 3 like 20,000 times?
I saw it a million times.
I saw it.
Stay tuned, by the way.
I saw it a handful of times, but it had diminishing returns on my rewatchability.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I did.
Bronson Pinchot and his stupid super gun.
I kind of didn't care. Yeah, no, it's not good.
The best bit of acting I've ever seen, period, especially by Bronson Pinchot, is when he gets busted for coke in True Romance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that means you're leaving out the Langoliers, which I think is his best performance.
No, I just feel
like I never saw it.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. That might have to be like a two-part Stay Tuned because it was like a TV movie. It's really long.
Yeah.
I taped that off of Fox and watched it like 25 times.
Wow.
I had a crush on the lady who plays Billy Crystal's wife in City Slickers. And she's in that movie.
Okay. I don't know. I don't remember this one either.
I don't remember her name. Yeah.
Anyway, so that guy is
But you never forget a face.
Nope, that's right. So this guy he's just doing like security and he's like, you know, you got to go through the metal detector.
I thought he was in on it. I thought it was going to be a thing where he's in on it.
Because like, you want a crooked fuck, you look to that guy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is totally post Beverly Hills Cop 3. He's played a villain in a franchise film.
But I mean, like, nobody watched that movie, man. Like, it's not like everyone's like, oh my God, that guy has to be. So, oh my God, it's George C. Scott. Hey, that's George C. Scott. He's going to be in the movie later. Like, no, it's just some guy.
And George C. Scott as Air Force One security checkpoint number one.
All right, everybody get that. Everybody have it. Got your fucking IDs out now. Got your shoes off.
Oh man!
Better take off that belt.
That would be a terrifying TSA guy.
I'm gonna grab your asshole. You want the pat down? Now make your hands into a diamond. Hands into a diamond.
Oh!
Did you hear me?
Oh my God!
I want your hands. No. No, that's a rhombus. I want them in a diamond.
How would you put your hands into a rhombus? Like,
bend over and I'll show you.
Kinda, Oh, so they let terrorists on board this plane.
What a colossal failure. And I know that, like, you know, Xander Berkeley, who's like a Secret Service serviceman,
is crooked.
Like, he's crooked. He's in on it. But, like, what a colossal failure this is.
Absolute failure. Like, from Jump Street, this is an absolute failure. Mm. So we get on board. This woman's like, oh, do you want a tour of all of Air Force One? Yep. I was like, man, our relationship with Russia in 1997 was much different.
And we just, like, took over half of it. We, you know what I mean? We just, like, deposed the Kazakhstani leader.
Oh, right, yeah. I was going to say about Russia in 96, we hacked their election, basically. Mm. So
yeah, oh, that's right.
Yeah, you know, The mainstream media won't tell you that because they don't want America to be looking like a bad guy, but we are.
We are. So, yeah, she's just, like, showing them around or whatever. We get introduced to, like, all the cast of crazy characters that's on Air Force One, including General William H. Macy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, crooked Xander Berkeley.
Now, is the other guy the guy from who plays the guy from CSI who plays, like, Flass or whatever that guy is? Like, one of his advisors.
Oh, the guy who takes the bullet at the end?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, was he on a CSI?
I thought he might have been.
Oh, I don't watch those shows. Yeah, no, I think I'm not, like, 67 years old.
those shows are hilarious because it's like, oh, my God. It's two scientists, like, explaining what science is to each other. It's like, well, it's ice. And the other guy's like, ice? Yeah, when water gets cold, it turns into ice. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, gotcha. Following along.
This is the smartest show on TV.
There's a really great moment here. So, like, you know, Harrison Ford is doing the whole, like, will you just give me 5 fucking minutes so I can talk to my family? So in comes this daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's basically like, hey, man, why don't you, like, let
hey
me... like, hey, man. She's like, I want to be, you know, going around with you on these tours or whatever. Why don't you let me, like, see this, like, war-torn whatever? And he's like, well, because it's really hard to look at stuff like that. And she's like, Dad, I'm 12 years old. And I was like, one, this actress is not 12 years old. Two, what are you, fucking crazy? She's like, I want to see a war-torn village. I can take it. Show me that brutality.
I actually think it would be good to show a 12-year-old American kid a war-torn village. This is how everyone else lives.
Just grow them up a bit, you think?
You know what? You know, yeah. Give them a little,
show them what it's like.
Give them a moral compass. You know, wouldn't be too bad.
And then we have this running gag of, like, the president has been taping all the big games and he's going to watch them all on the ride home, and everyone keeps hilariously spoiling scores for him.
Some guy's just like, yeah, Mr. President, Michigan, 13-14. What a great game. All right.
And he's like, you're fucking going to The Hague now. That's right. International War Court. Here it comes. Spoiled the Notre Dame game for me.
And there is a scene. I mean, you want to talk about President fucking Hot Dog, dude. This guy.
I do want to talk about President Hot Dog.
His wife comes in, the first lady herself.
Wendy Crewson.
Wendy Crewson from the Santa Claus movies.
The Good Son.
Oh, right. She's the mom and the Good Son.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very nice.
Wait, is she the mom and the Good Son?
Yeah, she's the mom. She's okay. Like the
or
weird
the aunt or whatever.
Yeah, like she's the mom that Elijah Wood starts dating in the middle of that movie.
That's right.
Very nice.
So she's like, she's getting all sexy with the president.
Sure.
And it's this great thing where, like, here's the president. He watches football. He's holding an ice-cold Budweiser in his hand, and he fucking tongue-kisses the first lady right on this goddamn airplane, because this is America.
Yak shamash.
And it's, I love that having Harrison Ford as the president, as if
did you just call him Harrison Ford?
Wait, Paris Ford?
Yeah.
It's we'll always have Harrison Ford, Eric.
No, the Harrison Ford Accords. Do you know what I mean? That's how we got out of World War II. No, how Harrison Ford is, like, the best-looking president that could ever, like, by millions of miles.
Sure.
By millions of miles. And Wendy Crewson is the best-looking first lady by millions of miles.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess that's true. What was the last, like, president hunk?
I mean, Obama's good looking. That, like, he's a good looking dude.
Yeah.
And Michelle Obama as well. Like, that's a good look. That's, like, the first, like, good looking couple.
Yeah, you're like, wow, look at that.
And the Kennedys.
I guess the Kennedys. Yeah.
No one was doing that to Gerald Ford.
No.
Yeah.
No. Or the H.W. Bushes.
No.
We got to go way back, like, olden days. There's
like William K. Polk. He might have been sexually attractive.
Zachary Taylor, fucking 100 Days in My Bed.
Dolly Madison, she's sexy.
Oh, right. Of course.
Great ice cream, the whole bit.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, this movie just keeps not wanting to start.
Nope.
Is the idea. Like, and you're right, Steve, it should be like, you know, directed by Wolfgang Petersen, Air Force One, cut to someone buckling a seatbelt.
Exactly. Like, it's the start, like, the beginning of Airplane. Like, everyone's just finding their seats, you know, on Air Force One.
Sure. That's, yes. I don't need all this other stuff.
One of the guys in the press pool who doesn't die, or maybe he dies. By the way, the body count of this movie, as according to IMDb, is 48.
It's a high body count. Mm-hmm. And you have to take into account things like all these extras that are just getting thrown out of the plane, yeah, just getting brutally assassinated.
Some are off camera, but there's a couple great on camera kills.
Oh, absolutely.
One of the guys in the press pool was one of the guys from No Ma'am. Remember Al Bundy's No Ma'am community there?
Oh, no, I didn't watch the show that much.
It was like Al Bundy's version of like the female woman haters club.
Yes, it was like
the He-Man woman haters club. Yes. Excuse me.
It was the like the proto MRA, you know.
Oh, right. Oh man, he would totally be all.
Oh, absolutely.
He absolutely would. Yeah.
He would be awful on Twitter. If Al Bundy found out what Twitter was, forget about it.
But at least Al Bundy wasn't racist.
Yeah.
Al Bundy had several African American friends, and he was never like, "Hey, it's the black one, Peg." Yeah, like he was always Al Bundy, dude, was cool.
After 9/11.
Oh, that's right. True. Yeah. Come on.
That's
Come
right.
On. You know what's happening.
Get out of my foot store.
My foot store?
Where we sell feet.
Yeah.
So we're getting in gear, and I guess like there's some weird name dropping of Saddam Hussein. Did we catch this?
Well, because I guess Saddam gets all riled up because of this speech, so he like deploys tanks to the border.
Well, it's a thing where Macy was like guessing that Saddam Hussein was behind something, I think was the deal.
That's what America loved to do.
Just
I'm
guessing what Saddam Hussein is up to. That was America's game show from like 1991 through 2003. Yeah.
And then when we whack them all.
But no, it's this weird thing where they're like, yeah, so-and-so is like moving tanks to the border or something like that. William H. Macy's like, oh, you think Saddam could be behind it? I was like, what are you bringing Saddam Hussein into this for? Jürgen Prochnow's playing a general. There's a fake Russian president.
Yes, exactly. Like, this whole conflict we're talking about doesn't even exist.
And no. Saddam Hussein as himself.
As yeah, always.
And it's not Air Force One starring fucking Bill Clinton. It's President Hot Dog. President American
is there cake. Much of a difference between Bill Clinton and President Hot Dog? Be honest.
I was President Chicken McNugget, man.
Oh man, you think I could? If I put the shower on in Air Force One, can I light a doob?
Oh fuck!
I don't want to set off the fire alarm.
Oh fuck! I'm gonna get caught again.
Mr. President, what are you doing in here?
Smoking a doob, General.
Green. Turn off that Michigan game and put on some Sliders. That show, you watch Sliders while baked, man. Forget about it.
It's before this term was invented, but hot take, Sliders is better than the X-Files, brother.
Wow, man, that is awesome. What a president. Apparently he loved this movie.
He loved the shit out of this movie. He screened it twice at the White House.
Another president loved this movie, too.
Yeah, but he thought it was a thing that was real. He thought he was watching a documentary.
Oh, just get me on a plane with Gary Oldman. I'll punch him in the nose. Oh, wait. Is he friends with Putin? Then, how about a handshake? Right this way, sir.
Hand something.
The one thing that they do, they play with a little bit, is the football. Is the nuclear football, because somebody's like, oh my God, he's got the football.
Oh, right.
But it like turns to nothing.
It comes to nothing. Well, because that's their mission has nothing to do with the launch codes. So yes. I guess it's fine. But so, I mean, actually, once we finally get on the fucking airplane.
Oh, good Lord.
I mean, this movie does get going immediately. So it turns out Xander Berkeley is a crooked Secret Service agent. And he like opens the armory cabinet on Air Force One, which, you know what? That seems like a bad idea that this thing exists on this plane.
I mean, it makes sense, but like you shouldn't have one like well-trained agent be able to, like everybody shouldn't be like hanging out relaxing in the armory thing.
It's got to be turning your keys, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
Like two agents have to turn the keys at the same time.
Yes. And the guy has a gun drawn and he's like, just you have a sentry there ready to go. Not like everyone's just like playing cards.
Well, Well, I've seen better security when they change out the fucking money machine at the goddamn MetroCard station.
Oh my god,
yeah, dude,
forget about it. That'll make you nervous.
You ever walk past those? It's like a dude with a huge fucking chain, and then this guy's got a machine gun.
I'm
like,
always tempted to make a sudden move.
Yeah, just to see what happens.
Yeah, to die.
Well, because they're all constantly out of shape, so it can't be like that quick on the reflexes.
The problem is you got to move all those Sacagawea dollars, and that's a lot of weight.
They could huck them at me.
So he opens this thing and he takes like a little smoke bomb and puts it near a vent so they think like there's a fire. And as soon as Gary Oldman and his boys like see this shit, they get up and they go right for this cabinet. And let me tell you, the brutality starts immediately.
This is rated R, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a hard R.
But not enough blood. You know what I mean? Like, let's get it. Let's spray some fucking blood.
Well, they wanted it to be PG-13, apparently.
So they tried probably to dialed soften it, back. It up. Yeah.
You are getting a little bit of it, though. Like, it mainly in this sequence, but there are just extras upon extras getting fucking shredded at the beginning of this movie. It's kind of outrageous.
In the 90s, we loved machine guns, and I missed how much we used to love machine guns.
In movies. In our country, we still love
them.
See, the thing is, you used to watch it in movies and be like, oh man, that's cool. Now you turn on the news and you're like, that's not cool.
Hey man.
Wait, and that has something to do with the assault rifle ban. So maybe it's a thing, we let that expire and assault rifles are out of movies now?
Yeah.
Maybe we put that ban on and they're like, well, if I can't see him in real life, maybe I can see him in the movies, and then they'll go back to being in movies.
Yeah, it's like that'd be great. Vin Diesel is assault rifle. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's his
name.
He's
like a man where he got like assault rifles for hands.
Yep.
Like a bionic man. Like maybe he crashed one of his Fast and Furious cars.
Oh no, my car crashed and now I got two assault rifles for hands. I have the biggest testicles in the world, Vin Diesel.
He's gonna die soon.
No.
What?
Eventually, he's old.
How old do you think Vin Diesel is?
He's in his like 50s, right?
No, he's like 40-something.
He's as old as Paul Giamatti, I heard on
Twitter. Oh, yeah, that's right. But
like, come on.
Neither of them are going to die soon.
Yeah, they are. Well, dude, relatively speaking.
Life expectancy,
Someone's listening to this in the future.
For the rich, forget about it. He's going to bury... Vin Diesel will be laughing at your funeral.
That's probably true.
I'm going to put my huge balls on Eric Siska's casket.
That'd be cool.
Dip.
But I mean, he's terrible, right? Can we just say
that? He's awful.
Awful. And stop telling me he's good in Boiler Room. I'm sick of hearing that from people. That's a lame defense.
Right, or Guardians of the Galaxy.
Come on, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Like, he said one thing and then they just modded it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, he did one thing. I don't even think he had to show up for the second one. They just kept taking it from the first one.
They murder everybody. They rush Harrison Ford to an escape pod.
Hey, brother, that thing doesn't exist, man.
I wish I could get baked in that escape pod, catch a beach. Oh, they used to have a cool escape pod, but they caught me catching a hot brain in the escape pod, and then they had to cancel the whole darn thing.
Hey, man, you ever catch a hot beach in an egg-shaped room?
The president did something inappropriate in the escape pod. I'm sorry, we have to invoke the articles of impeachment.
What happened? Well, he was hanging brain in the escape pod, unfortunately.
But sorry, brother. I ruined it for everybody. Now there's no escape pod.
Oh, they took it out. I was getting a beach in it. Carter warned me about this.
Holy shit.
The idea of an escape pod,
kind of like it. I actually literally, when I read that today, that the escape pod didn't exist, I was like, it doesn't? Like, I really thought that was a real thing.
So they launch this thing out, and it goes flying, and then I believe, like, everyone's kind of rushed into one room is the idea. Again, it's just like Die Hard. To get everybody in one room. Mm-hmm. It's a hostage situation. They immediately, it's kind of funny because Gary Oldman's like, where is the wife and daughter? And, like, this first kid is literally the only child on the plane, only child in the room, and she's, like, 3 feet in front of him. Mm. It's like, come on, what do kids look like in Russia? How are you confused by this?
Also, like, do any research. You're about to take over Air Force One. Know what the first lady looks like. Know what the little kid looks like.
Yeah, they don't. I guess maybe they didn't have the internet, you know, yet.
They had newspapers.
Micro-fashish.
Oh, man, you got micro-fashish.
Oh, roll up some of that micro-fashish, man. I'm going to smoke that shit in the pod. Hillary, get in there. We're smoking micro-fashish.
Get the dryer sheets. Put them on the pod air vent, man. You're fine.
Anyway, we can screen Air Force One and hear that movie fucking rules.
Oh, man. This is like an evening I want to experience.
Totally, man.
Hang out with Bill Clinton.
Partying on Air Force One. I'll just take a regular old plane. It doesn't even have to be Air Force One.
Hey, Steve, hook in that black light, brother. I got a bunch of cool mushroom posters I want to show you.
Sir, this is Delta.
So we basically have our setup, which is Harrison Ford is Bruce Willis, and he's at, like, he slinks out, and it's like, oh, the president wasn't in the pod after all, no shit.
And all, immediately people, we go to the Situation Room where you have
Vice President Glenn Close.
And
Dean Stockwell.
He's the what? The Secretary of Defense.
I think he's SecDef Dean Stockwell.
I like that idea. Cool. I like this little cast. It's
love Dean Stockwell.
Dean Stockwell's a legend. He's awesome in this movie. I mean, so is Glenn Close.
Absolutely, she's great.
This is a deep cast. This was when you could get. And this is interesting because this is like a summer blockbuster. I mean, I don't know if it came out in the summer, but like it's a blockbuster.
No,
movie.
It was a summer.
Was it okay? Yeah. But like
97,
was it summer though?
Yeah,
yeah. So, but like this was you could get these like deep ass casts for these kind of wild movies before we had like now where it's like you know. Mm. And actually, the greatest example is Independence Day versus Independence Day Resurgence, where like one movie had like a ton of noted actors in it or like you know famous faces and the second one is like starring a bunch of dead-eyed kids
because I mean we just didn't have a deep cast bench, you know what I mean, and TV wasn't a thing yet, you know, right. What I mean, where TV was a thing but like not everybody had their own TV. Wait. Paul Giamatti would be in this movie, he wouldn't be on a TV show.
Are you making it sound like these dead-eyed kids in Independence Day Resurgent have a TV career? Did they I don't know.
No, I mean like your B grade actors are on television now.
Right,
they're not on, you know, right. like your Bryan Cranstons, I mean, like your Bob Odenkirks, the rest of the cast of Breaking Bad, but you know what I mean, like these people could and should be in the war room being like, oh, I don't know if the president's gonna get off that plane, you know what I mean, like
that's right. Mike the cleaner like on the phone in the Situation Room,
stop smoking weed in the escape pod, Walter.
I went in there, it smelled like a Crosby, Stills, and Nash concert.
That's right. I don't turn out for Neil Young.
the weird thing about this movie is, like, so for the first part of it, we're like, oh, is the president gone? Is he not on the plane? Whoops, we find out he's on the plane. But, like, immediately, he cannot be the president and he cannot actually, like, the second you realize he's held hostage, any and all orders he's making are completely null and void.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he is not, the vice president is in control of the country.
The second you're compromised in any way.
Yes.
In any way.
Uh-huh.
It should.
Yeah. But that's the weird thing that I keep wanting to call him Sam Rockwell, which is stupid. Dean Stockwell. He's arguing with Glenn Close about, like, who should be in charge, him or her. And it's something about, like...
He's trying to get a military coup going.
He kind of is, because it's not like a health thing or whatever.
It's a military thing, so it goes into his courts, and now he's the president?
And that's why we get, like, Philip Baker Hall in this movie as, like, a constitution expert or some shit. Mm-hmm. Not enough Philip Baker Hall in this movie. He comes in, like, well over an hour into the movie.
He's, like the attorney general or something? Or?
No, I think he's just, like, a constitutional scholar. Hmm. That's what I thought he was supposed to be.
There was some line, like, get the attorney general to look at the Constitution.
Oh, so he's the attorney general and he's a constitution.
Philip Baker Hall, he's got to have a position, like a post.
Right, right.
But, you know.
Or he's a degenerate gambler. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I'm just betting on the Constitution down the track.
Or he's a library cop.
Oh, shit. Yeah, bookman.
But, so, like, the president starts killing people, right?
Left and right.
He's dieharding
what
people.
What else is new?
but with his bare hands, Eric. That's the difference.
That's the difference. Mm-hmm. Dome.
Yeah,
that's why we need. That's why we need that international Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh the, God, bring me yeah. that fucking Turkish yeah, oil dude, wrestling.
Exactly. Throw a chainsaw in the middle of the fucking thing. And
anybody notice who one of the bat one of the first baddies he kills is? Is it the dude from Beverly Hills Cop 3?
It's Wishmaster, man. It's Harrison Ford v. Wishmaster.
Really?
Oh, right. The yeah. evil djinn himself.
Yes.
Wow. He gets in like a fucking fight with this dude and then eventually murders him.
He breaks his neck.
It's pretty
the
awesome.
President is breaking necks.
That's pretty great. It's like if Gerard Butler became the president.
He can't. He's a Scottish national.
Oh, that's right. Actually, speaking of Wish, that was a stupid thing you read on the Tribune about this of like, alternate casting ideas beside Harrison Ford. They're dropping Arnold Schwarzenegger,
which would have been amazing. Come on,
yeah, but like then you're just gonna have to have something about there was like an amendment that said that like or, you know foreign well, born people can become president of the United States.
He was born in like a German commune somewhere, sort of like Amish.
Oh yeah,
I had my Rumspringer and then I ran for president.
I was born in Idaho. The next day, Dad went to Germany for 14 years, and now look at me now.
Oh, sorry, that, you actually that's an angle. Like I was an army brat. I was living in Germany for so long.
Oh yeah, that yeah. could be. Now,
I mean,
a
it would make no sense. But oh, it would totally still, no sense. Still
Gary Oldman's looking on the ship, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger is just naked, covered in mud, up against the wall. It's like,
oh, no.
I can see you like very clearly. You're right there.
Oh, no, his heat vision is working. He could see my pecker.
Here's a question, speaking of Gary Oldman. What is with all the screaming?
Oh, he's losing his mind. When he finds out the president isn't on board, he loses
He's like yelping.
This is 90s Gary Oldman, you know? Like, this is Leon the Professional era.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Get me everyone.
Screaming at the top of his lungs for this whole movie. It's kind of great.
Well, apparently, like, what do you know what William Peterson called this? Wolfgang Peterson, not William Peterson. Not speaking of CSI.
He should play a president.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
President Peterson, man.
Hey, I'm the president.
Yeah, that's what he'd say.
What kind of cologne does this guy have? You got a real sick fuck here. The president of Russia is a real sick fuck. What kind of cologne has he got? What did you do to them, the president of Russia? Did you make them watch it? Did you make her watch it?
God.
You wanted her to see it, didn't you? Oh, the president of Russia, you wanted her to see it. Putin, you fuck.
When was the last time you watched that movie?
Manhunter, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm due for a rewatch, man. I love
Big
that
time,
movie.
Me too.
Oh, you wanted her to see it. How'd you make her see it?
Now, here's something. I just looked at my notes real quick, and it's one of these things where sometimes I just write down dialogue and then I don't remember where it's from. Why is it someone says, play with this guy's balls?
What?
Does anybody remember that?
No, what movie were you watching?
This was a private conversation we had. I thought it was in confidence.
It's in quotes. As someone says in this movie,
oh,
play
no,
with
I
this
remember
guy's
now.
Balls.
It was like one of the generals or something that was like, after Gary Oldman makes his like his demands or whatever,
right.
He's just like, I'll be playing like catch with this guy's balls.
Oh, that,
or
yeah.
Like,
oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. See, I'm not crazy.
No, he's
slash, I wasn't accidentally watching pornography.
Oh, wow. Well,
hey, who's going to be playing with my balls in the escape pod, brother?
Oh, man, put some credence on while you play with my balls in the escape pod.
I ran the country for 8 years. Woohoo.
Try to guess how many times I've been completely nude on Air Force One. Answer all of them.
I don't know, Barr. Trying to give 42 some advice. He told me to play with his balls. Just, you know, I give him an olive branch, Barr. You know, like
he gave me a hard-on back. Showed me, sent me a Polaroid of his wiener, Barr.
Couldn't believe it, Barr. The shaft was the branch, and he had painted. I can't do it.
And he had painted his balls green.
Okay. You know,
hey Hillary, I painted my balls and sent a picture to 41.
He gave me he pushed his boner against my thigh, Barr, and it was a joke. He said it was a joke.
I wish someone would push a boner against my thigh.
Ooh. Emperor Reagan, man. That's what the amazing thing is. Imagining Air Force One with
literally any president.
Any president.
Is it
Is it always the same airplane? Do we change that out?
I feel like we must.
We do, yeah.
Are we like putting new carpet down?
Because it would be just some chintzy 70s nightmare if it wasn't.
Well, you're redoing the interior, but I guess the technology has to be upgraded. Yeah, it's probably not the same airplane. Yeah.
No, I'm sure like every 8 years or something.
And I'm sure some Air Force One scholar will tweet at us the correct answer.
You made a mistake by getting on my plane. Now let's play Who's Gonna Forget First? Everyone knows I'm a robot.
At 20,000 feet, dementia. Can't wait, what? Mommy.
Oh, you know, I was never nude in the escape pod once. It was a waste of time.
Oh, man. You know what would be a cool movie? It's the president in space, obviously, right?
Because sure, space president.
Space president. But it's like we're aliens sleeping in sleep pods and shit.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to sleep now, Mommy. The computer's name is Mommy.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Instead of Mother?
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Wow. That's awesome.
That would be great.
And then there's an alien in space.
Right. It's an acronym.
Everyone calls you Mother, but I call you Mommy.
The first M just stands for, not machine, stands for Mommy.
I've never been nude anywhere.
But yeah, like how, all right, let's go through, we'll go from Nixon on. How many terrorists on a plane could they take out of their own volition?
Okay, Nixon, zero.
No, Nixon was one. He would bite you.
He would actually, I think he would do well. He's feisty.
I'm going to get your throat. All the Democrats came at me, guns blazing. Archibald Cox, you're not going to take this plane. Oh, they forgot to frisk me. I always have a leg iron on me. Ma-blam, ma-blam.
Because I just feel like he was always packing heat at all times.
Oh, yeah, dude. Because if Richard Milhouse Nixon had not become a shitty president of the United States, he would have been some dude who was like doing money drops for the mafia, probably.
Yes, oh, yeah. Precisely.
That Quaker son of a bitch.
So then we get Ford, and I feel Ford, he'd be choke slamming people left and right.
Left and right, I'm going to take out all these motherfuckers. Get the fuck over here.
He's built like a brick shit house.
He's a football player.
Yeah, it's like the Undertaker as president.
Totally. I got a tombstone pile driver on you, you motherfucking terrorist. Your head is now a pigskin.
Casket match.
Oh, no, I fell over and got shot in the head.
No. See, that would be his downfall. Yeah. He trips and a terrorist gets
him. A literal downfall.
So we've got that. Then we're going to go Carter. Not doing too well with Carter.
No. Hey, can't we all just talk about this or what?
No, he's dead. He's
blammo. Yeah, that's the end of that. Like that's a guaranteed zero unless there's an accidental, like, technically that terrorist killed himself accidentally, but Carter was like, strike one for me, boys.
Choked on a peanut.
But I think, yeah, all right, so then after Carter, we get Reagan.
Reagan, I mean, he's not doing shit.
No, he's too old.
Old.
I mean, like, you know, back in the old, you know, the pictures. You know,
right, back in the Westerns.
Yeah, you'd be punching everybody. But
I'm going to bring a horse on Air Force One. I played a cowboy, Mommy.
Well, it's just like, I am Secret Service Agent. Are you Bill? Yes, I am Bill.
You'd appreciate this, Steve. I watched an old Ronald Reagan movie where he starred with Errol Flynn called Desperate Journey, and he's taken, like, hostage or something by Nazis, and, you know, they ask him, like, oh, are you American or whatever? And he's like, half American, half Jersey City.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So like Reagan had some moments some in spunk. The picture
so
shows.
Like, yeah, but I think zero. He was just too old.
It's
he
a
just
total
didn't have
zero.
It. Then we're going to go HW. I feel like HW would take out no less than five fucking people.
Oh, yeah. He's breaking necks left and right.
I mean, because he's killed people with his bare hands before.
CIA director.
Yeah, dude. You can't run the company unless you're fucking breaking necks.
I think, like, they probably, like, bring you one a year, like, you, as, like, the strong leader.
Right. And it's just to, like, keep you sharp.
Room. Yeah.
Just keep you sharp. They throw it's like getting thrown in with, like, a lion.
Exactly.
Yeah. CIA director.
It's like Gladiator, dude. Dude, you just got to fucking kill that? Oh, totally.
Totally. That definitely happens.
He's like, oh, wow. It's the 1st of April already, huh, fellas? Bring him in. And they throw a lion into the Oval Office, and he's got to choke it out.
Yeah, I feel like HW would land the plane. He was that wily and that monstrous.
And honestly, if this if Air Force One, the movie, starred George Herbert Walker Bush as this president, this movie would be under an hour and a half because he would decimate these fuckers, toot sweet, land that plane with time for dinner.
Now, can we get a sick Doom mod, which is just HW on Air Force One, like just shooting down terrorists?
I would love that. I would love that. So Clinton,
like two. I don't know. Yeah, maybe don't one. Know.
It would be like. Like how Chris Farley kills people in Beverly Hills Ninja.
How was that again?
Goofishly. Yeah.
I mean, at best. And you know, I don't think W is doing shit.
Hey, yeah. Poppy, can you kill some of these guys or what?
Yeah, I don't know, man. He wasn't that big either. Like, he's just...
No, he's just...
He's a little weaselly. Like, yeah. Maybe one again. Like, you got to give him one for the element of surprise.
He's probably got, like, a little Swiss Army knife on him at all times. So it's just like... He's like jabbing at him.
And like in his brain, like Poppy's just like, remember, W, remember what I taught you, man? The finger trick, how you kill a man with your thumbs. And he's just like, I wasn't paying attention.
Hey, Poppy, does that mean I got to sit on my thumb? I don't remember the thumb trick.
He's like talking to his hallucination, and the Russians are like, what?
I'm not the president. I'm Air National Guard. Move along, move along.
Then Obama, like...
I think he would do all right.
He'd do all right. He's a big dude.
He's yeah, got a good
better shape than most presidents.
Definitely.
He'd be the closest to, like, president fist fight.
Mm. Definitely. He's like he could be a president punch.
President punch, that's what it was. Yeah, no.
And then, of course, we've got...
Well, it would just be a striking heart attack after trying to lay the first blow. I feel the idea there.
Well, he would be looking for... Where's the escape pod? That was a movie. Yeah. Wait... That's our power rankings.
That's the presidential power rankings of who could take out how many terrorists on Air Force
So, One. Gary Oldman killed... So, like, of course, because it's a diehard type thing, we need to be talking to people on phones. So, like, the president finds some phone, and he's, like, looking through these instructions on how to work this satellite cell phone. And,
it's
like,
great,
while that's happening, the NSA director gets killed.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
And he's like, how do you do the goddamn controls?
He's trying to use... I think we had this portable phone in my house in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't even look like a sat phone. It just looks like a phone that was in our kitchen. And it runs out of battery power just as fast.
And he gets caught by some guy, and, like, he's calling the White House, and he's like giving them instructions while he's being, like, taken away.
Yeah, and it's this stupid thing where Glenn Close, like, they're all listening to him and whatnot, and Glenn Close is like, shut up. He's talking to us. The president is giving us orders. And, like, the idea is if you shoot missiles or whatever at Air Force One, the security guidance system will, like, make it turn.
Shields
I don't know.
Shields up, Captain.
Yeah, dude, might as well. I don't know if any of this technology exists. I mean, you know, Air Force One experts write in. Let me know how much of this
but
is
that's
fool,
all, by
fool
the way,
of shit.
Whatever, you think you're an expert in Air Force One, that's fake bullshit. You got fed a line.
You got fed a line by who?
Yeah, just, you know, name them.
I think there was actually, there was a special on Netflix, just one of those like...
Fake?
Well, fake, it's fake, no. Fake.
One of those like crazy like UFOs on
yeah,
the
like,
moon.
Oh, no. Air Force One came here from outer space.
No. See, it's
thousand
not,
years
it's
ago.
It's not the Ancient Aliens type
what?
Show. It was just a thing that was like, here's a tour of Air Force One.
Okay.
And it was like the history of Air Force One or
okay.
whatever. I fell asleep watching it pretty
sure.
quickly.
Did it give you a kill count to how many people got murdered?
It was a pretty cool tour of the escape pod, though. They were like the little documentarian went in and he was like, smells like weed and McDonald's in here.
Sidebar, you ever see the Pope's plane?
No.
I saw pics of the Pope's plane. This might have been Ratzenberger era or whatever the fuck.
Oh, Pope John Ratzenberger?
Whatever the last guy was, Palpatine.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, there's like a sweet ass bed.
Benedict, you're thinking of.
Yeah, yes, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm. Well, his good name Pope. Was like Rats.
John Ratzenberger was.
Yeah, yeah became exactly. Pope Benedict.
Exactly.
I think was the idea.
That's
hey, Nami, you want to come to Vatican City?
Oh man, no, John Ratzenberger A will be in any movie anywhere.
Sure,
right. See, Crooked Pope.
Isn't
John
he
Ratzenberger
like,
Crooked Pope?
Isn't he like doing like dog movies now or something?
Yeah,
like
he was in our favorite movie there,
Wait, Russell what? Madness. Remember?
That's what I'm thinking of.
But I think he's been in more since then.
Yeah, I think he's just a dog actor now.
Or talking.
He's a dog actor. Yeah.
Or talking ape, dude. He does not discriminate.
Oh, shit, dude. He would be great in like War of the Planet of the Apes or something.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it's truly going to be a Planet of the Apes.
Hey, Nami, look at all these Planet of the Apes. I'm bummed, man. I got the invite to the exhibitor screening. Can't make it.
Oh, no.
Sucks.
I'm kind of excited for it. It might have came out by now. You're listening to this. I don't know.
That's true. I'll tell you what, though. Got that confirmed runtime. We're talking. 2 hours and 20 minutes.
That's right. Every movie. That's literally every movie that's made in the summer. It's got to be 2:20.
Fucking crazy.
So
fire the missiles at the plane. The plane like
knocks over. I think at this point, like, we don't know who's causing the thing. It's like, oh, I think it's a Secret Service agent. So like Gary Oldman's like, well, I've seen Die Hard.
Oh, right.
I've seen Die Hard before.
They suspect that there's like a rogue Secret Service agent in like the belly of the plane who's fucking shit. With it. Because they don't know that it's the president.
And he keeps dispatching one guy at a time. One guy goes down. One guy goes down.
Well, you gotta be patient.
President. So the president goes nuts. He starts cutting up a summer camp of sexy teens.
Uh-huh. He's
that
like,
would be awesome.
Wearing one of them as a mask, like one of their faces. Mask.
You shouldn't have let me drown, mommy. Now you have to die.
Reagan would be an amazing serial killer because of the mommy shit.
Yeah, creepy totally. As all
he's
fuck.
Like fucking psycho.
Yes, dude. Who at this camp is having unprotected sex? I'll put a stop to that. A boy's best friend is his mommy.
What? What's that? It sounds like a deranged old man. Shut up, baby. Keep smoking it up. Nothing's going to happen.
So, like, Gary Oldman likes using the intercom on Air Force One quite a bit.
Yeah.
Mostly to instill fear on people. But there's this crazy thing where he broadcasts.
Dinner's ready.
Yeah.
that's why the intercom was used in the 90s in my house.
Oh, really? Oh, you had an intercom in your house?
Briefly.
People, yeah,
why was it brief?
I don't know.
It broke. Probably they always.
It might have been It might be just my fragmented memory of like my tortured past. I might be just remembering movies.
My buddy had an intercom. But it was broken. Did. It was like I feel like everyone who had an intercom, like in the 80s, you'd build it. And
I
it would break.
We got it in like the mid 80s, and then by the mid 90s, they just took it out.
I think I also had a friend. There was an intercom in the house, and it was the coolest thing ever, except it was totally broken.
Yeah.
But so Gary Oldman, he's fucking fed up with not having his demands met. And this is kind of like a brutal scene. They bring back that like peppy PR representative.
Yes.
And he's like, all right, I'm going to shoot her right in the face if you don't give me, you know, whatever it is.
And he's also like, this is to the man who is killing my men under the plane. I will fucking shoot this woman in the head.
Oh, that's right. He's like trying to coax Harrison Ford out of hiding.
Which is, I mean, like so much of this movie is like, I don't negotiate with terrorists. I'll never give in. And I'm a fucking man. Right. And like at the end of the movie, he totally fucking buckles like a belt. And it kind of destroys that whole part of the movie. He lets this woman get shot in the fucking head, and she's like screaming for her mother and all this shit. It's brutal.
And it's broadcast all over the plane.
And everyone's like, oh man, that sucks. And it's just like, ooh, that sucks.
Oh, glad we're all stuck in this room with William H. Macy. Ooh.
Moving along, Harrison Ford moves into this room. He finds like this woman who lets him know how to get a fax going.
Oh, Fax Lady is the hero of this movie.
Uh-huh.
Fax Lady does not get enough credit in this movie. So they're like, the president eventually like reveals himself. Like he goes into the room where everybody's hanging out. And it's like, oh, they cut the phone lines or whatever. We can't get word to, or he's like, my fucking battery on my phone died. And this lady's like, no, sir, the fax machine is on a different line. And odds are they probably missed it. So like he's trying to send this code to them. To like go down to a certain altitude at a certain speed, because this is the most ridiculous action set piece in this movie, I think. They're like, we have to do this mid-air refuel because Harrison Ford dumps all the fuel out of the plane. So they're like, all right, we're going to send a fueling plane to you, and this is like where you have to get to and this and that and blah, blah, blah. This thing is such a fucking bungled disaster.
Hundreds of people die. Well, not hundreds. Well, like 10 to 12 people are just shucked.
So much death happens right here.
But well, also, like, Gary Oldman is not... Here's two things. One, why is Xander Berkeley undercover the whole movie?
That doesn't make any sense.
You need dudes with guns. You are very low on people holding guns at people.
Especially when people start getting taken out by President Punch.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, Xander Berkeley is just like... He's just like sitting on his hands waiting for like this monologue that's going to happen in the last act, which actually never happens.
And it bothers me that you have no idea why his allegiance is with Gary Oldman. Like, yeah, it's never right. explained. He's just a crooked Secret Service agent for no reason.
It needs to be explained.
Yeah. And so the whole thing is like, you know, William H. Macy says, if you can get to this altitude and reduce to this speed, we have a shit ton of parachutes on board and we can get all these people off of the plane. Yeah. So this whole scheme to trick Gary Oldman into thinking he's just going to get all this gas and they're going to get everybody off and whatever. And he like, I don't, there's like a security camera or something. Yeah, because that thing goes off and it's like, oh, the fucking back of the plane opened. Like, of course an alarm's going to go off for that.
It's like parachute ramp open. Yeah. Apparently it's actually on, well, this is another thing that's not actually on Air Force One.
Really? Yeah, a bunch of parachutes.
No, like cargo?
Yeah, it was just like, no parachute. Oh, man, where's the parachute ramp?
Oh, man, the only way you're going to get high is in the escape pod with me.
I'm going to work very hard to ensure that people have golden parachutes. I'm not talking about urine. I'm talking about a lot of money.
So they're hawking people out the back of Air Force One, and you see, it's kind of my favorite shot in the movie, is a fax machine lady's just like, I did it, I got off Air Force One. Yeah. Like, it's because it's all these anonymous extras jumping out of this plane, and then fax machine lady gets her little close-up.
But where is fax machine lady touching down in hostile territory? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what happens to these people? Well, we don't know where we are. We're between somewhere between Russia and Kazakhstan. I guess we're like doing a loop.
I think they're like getting dumped into like the Red Sea or something.
I think it's a Caspian Sea.
Caspian. Oh, yeah, you're totally right. Yeah, it is the Caspian.
I'm sure she just gets her head cut off in the woods. Yes. <or something. laughs>
Most likely.
Like, something bad's happened.
Mm-hmm. You know? So Gary Oldman, like, gets hip to it, and it's this whole fuck-around thing in where the gas tube, like, pulls out of Air Force One, and it scrapes against the side of it or some shit, and there's a spark, and the fucking hose catches fire, and this whole fueling plane just goes up.
That guy can't even get a prayer out. That guy's like, our fuck... Just nothing.
It's outrageous.
Did not see that coming.
Mm-hmm. You did not see it coming. And of course it happens when Harrison Ford's like hanging out the back of the airplane. The first of a couple times he does that in this movie.
But the funny thing is, like, our A1, like, you should have got out the escape pod because literally you're just putting everyone else's life in danger and the country. And that's like sort of like what's beaten down into you when you're the president. They sit down with you like, look, you're not just one man, blah, blah, blah. I imagine that happens.
No, they don't do this.
Well, I think, isn't that the speech they give you when they give you the fucking the codes of the bunker and everything? It's like, you are not one man. You represent millions of people.
They sat Trump down, and when you said, like, they go, A1, okay, and he's just like, very good steak sauce, the best steak sauce. Could I have that well done, burnt to a crisp?
I want a little meat chip. It's going to be, I want it to look like I have a French fry consistency.
And then it pans up and it's like Homer Simpson, like with like the barnyard animal playing music, playing the fucking jug.
I had a legitimate laugh at the start of this whole scheme when fax machine lady, like, you know, it makes her big reveal. Yeah. Harrison Ford goes, if this works, I'm going to make you Postmaster General. Fucking great line.
Yeah. What if that happens? Like, oh, why isn't there this new lady? She got the president off.
Why is the post office disbanding? Like, what is this debacle? Oh, wait. Fax machine lady? Wait, that's what he called her? What is this?
Fax machine lady is now post office lady. Says President Punch.
I pay to play. And I'm playing with fax machine lady.
But the funny thing is, so like, they catch him at this point, and like he's abducted by Gary Oldman, and like everyone's freaking out back at the White House, and the press gets wind of it, and like basically Glenn Close is like, everybody, hi. I want you all to pray for Air Force One. Are you kidding me? Like, you don't go live until you've got the president in hand or he's dead. Like, there's no middle ground.
Well, they get fucked over, though, because this dude comes in and he's like, somehow CNN's reporting that Air Force One crashed.
Fake news.
And they're like,
that's fake news. CNN, Jim Acosta, of course, they got it wrong again.
Well, in this situation, he's right. That is fake news.
Yeah, it is.
Because you see Glenn Close and she's like, oh, fuck.
fuck.
So they have to like try to get out in front of it somehow.
Yeah.
And the plan, well, so like this press secretary goes out, this guy's fucking spicering all over the place. So then Glenn Close like gets up there, she's like, get out of the way, dummy. And she gives the speech, but yeah, pray for Air Force One. How about fucking just fix it? I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to stay glued to my television.
I heard Jeb could fix it.
Oh, right. Please save Air Force One. Please.
I think I feel like Jeb could take that. Jeb's a pretty tall dude. Pretty beefy.
Well, yeah, the problem is the beef might hold him back a little bit.
He's a biter, just like his idol, Nixon.
That's true.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he would do better than W.
Yeah, he would.
I know some people would think maybe the opposite, but I think he would do better. Under distress, I think a Jeb would fight.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Christie would like bowling ball a bunch of people. Like he'd just go down a hallway and like 5 to 10 people would fall down.
Dude, man. He'd do the thud butt fucking bangarang. Just fucking roll down a ramp.
Yeah, he'd fucking suffocate someone with his tits. But man, funny enough, we'll never see him be president.
No, not at all. No.
Or anything else ever again. Maybe a lobbyist.
Totally. He's going the fucking Howard Dean route for sure.
Fucking meat lobby.
The pizza burger lobby. You know, everybody's ordering the twin burger at diners. Everybody, you know, there's way too much of that. We need some more pizza burgers and diners. It's mozzarella cheese on a hamburger with some bad tomato sauce.
Your impression of Chris Christie is way tougher than Chris Christie has ever sounded.
Yes,
it's true.
So there's a lot, so this next couple of scenes is basically just like Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford like slap fighting and shit.
Man, but they're just beating the shit out of the president of the United States. It's kind of awesome.
It's pretty cool, but it got me thinking because I'm watching Gary Oldman and he's like shoving Harrison Ford's face up against a bulkhead and like kicking him in the stomach and shit. You know what? Gary Oldman would have made a really cool Indiana Jones villain.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, big time.
How cool would that have been?
Right.
He's just some like maniacal scientist
would have
or
been
whatever.
Better than Cate Blanchett, I think.
Yeah, she was good. The movie was good,
but yeah, the movie was bad, but I feel like she was maybe too good for it. I feel like Gary Oldman would have chewed it a little better, made it a little more pulpy.
You're totally right. She's not chewing it. She's just being a great actor. Yeah. Gary Oldman would be like, oh, I get it. This is garbage.
Yeah, but exactly what you need.
Like he's doing in this movie.
But then you have where it was, oh, you know, like that's, you can't act next to that.
That's right. Yeah.
He was just lying about being a double. President Punch.
I'll have a double pizza burger.
Oh my God, Ray Winstone as Chris Christie.
Yes.
Oh fuck. Oh fuck. Needs to happen. Oh fuck. Oh fuck.
Right, yeah.
Actually, or Howie Mandel in a fat suit.
Ooh, that's good too.
Either
question,
way,
how clean is that fat suit?
It's got to be dirty.
No, it's gotta be extra clean. Because Howie Mandel's got crazy OCD and germophobia.
Oh, that's
too you're bad. Fucking you're putting that thing through a car wash at the end of every shoot day.
So I didn't know he was that mentally disabled.
He's hardcore with that dude. He will not like shake hands with people and stuff, which is kind of funny because Howard Stern used to fuck with him on America's Got Talent with that all the time.
Well, of course,
put a used condom in his fucking Pepsi.
He fucking slung it at him like a slingshot.
Migs.
That's probably where the rubber glove bit came from. Like he just had it, and they're like, "Howie, what are you doing with that rubber glove?" Because like he was like afraid to open the bathroom. He's like, and then he put it over his head. He's like,
"Can we?"
Like, oh, that's funny.
And
that's
I feel like we can also acknowledge now that that was a terrible bit.
Yeah,
and he should apologize.
that was a fucking comedy crime.
Seriously, like. Fuck, it was easier back then, huh?
The amazing Jonathan pretended to drink windshield wiper fluid or whatever. Windex.
That's a little more of an art.
Speaking of the amazing Jonathan, can I tell you something magician related that happened to me? I had a dream last night that I was hanging out with Penn Jillette.
Okay.
And it was pretty cool because he was just like, he was like doing a magic trick in front of me, but it was like wizardry magic, like it wasn't a real magic trick, and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And then I woke up and I was like, oh man, I wasn't hanging out with Penn Jillette.
You're the first person to ever feel that.
I'd love to hang out with those dudes. That'd
you
be
wake
awesome.
Up like, oh man, I hung out with Penn Jillette last night. God,
I think it would be a lot of fun, dude. They are Vegas royalty, those two. Are you kidding me?
I had a dream not long ago that I was hanging out with Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, fuck. And that's dude, even better.
Right? I was like, put me back under. You know, like Flatliner me or something.
You see the remake in that?
Really?
The remake in Flatliners. I don't know if it's a movie or if it's a TV show. I just saw this IMDb thing that was like, here's a trailer for Flatliners. And I was like, no, thank you. Good day.
You know, not enough medical students these days are experiencing the afterlife via killing themselves for brief periods of time.
Totally. If you're listening right now and you are part of the medical studies community.
Please.
You guys trying to flatline or what?
Right into the mailbag, wehallhatemovies@gmail.com. I would like to hear about the afterlife and if you saw some little shit heel in a red hoodie.
Oh, yeah. Or Kiefer Sutherland at all.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
a totally out of her element Julia Roberts.
Yeah,
she doesn't belong in that movie.
Ooh, Oliver Platt.
Yeah. Oh, that's Flatliners is an Oliver Platt movie. Yeah.
He could play a president.
Oh, absolutely.
How has he not? That's unfortunate.
Right? Well, it's a sad. Nuke him.
Now that's what I want in a president.
Mm-hmm. So. He finally, it takes forever for this movie to get there. It's like they put a gun to the little girl's head.
Yeah.
He's like, release General Reddick right now.
I mean, that's fucking step one, Gary Oldman.
Exactly.
Just get to it.
And like, he's like, I will kill one hostage every 30 minutes. It's like, great. Why don't you put a gun to the fucking first daughter's head and say, I will blow her brains out.
Exactly.
And then I'll do the wife after that. And then everyone's like, all right, take the general, because that's like a PR nightmare.
Yeah, you don't start with the losers.
Yeah.
You start with the most important hostage and work your way backwards.
So they call Moscow and they let this dude out. And it's just like, why? Why would you ever do that?
Well, at least like lie about it. But I guess though Gary Oldman's got people like inside the prison.
He's got people on the ground or something. That's very ill-defined. But like again, like he lets this woman die. This woman gets shot in the fucking head. He's like, don't. And he starts to cry. He's like, don't put that gun in there, my little girl.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, yeah, I know he's a dad and all that stuff, but like, come on. come on. And also, like, he tells Glenn Close what to do. And like Dean Stockwell rightfully is like, well, we can't do this. Like, that's sorry. Some dudes are lucky and some ain't. You know what I mean? Like, that's how that shit works.
And it's fucked up because Stockwell gets all these signatures to like enact the whatever. I don't know if he's trying to get the 25th Amendment in play or what's going on. Mm-hmm. But he's like, hey, Glenn Close, I have
I think it was a birthday card.
No, I think it was hey, Sam, we got to declare that the president is mentally incapacitated in order for you to leap. Sign this sheet.
Oh, boy. Hey, speaking of which, I got to tell you, I've been secretly watching Star Trek Enterprise a little bit here and there. It's not great, but it's like Star Trek I haven't seen before.
Did you get to the Nazis yet?
No.
There's alien Nazis.
Sure. I mean, that's not shocking. There's alien Nazis in every Star Trek series.
I believe Hitler takes over New York City in that show. So
what?
Oh,
I got to keep watching.
Oh, yeah, the aliens help him.
There's an episode recently that I watched where this dude turns out to be a time traveler from like 900 years in the future. And he's like talking to Scott Bakula about time travel. And I wanted Scott Bakula to be like, I know about time travel.
I know a
don't
little
talk
something.
To me about fucking time travel.
Quantum Leap is a great show.
I wish like Glenn Close was like dealing with Dean Stockwell. She's no, I'm not going to sign the thing. You know, the president's still the president. And then she looks in a mirror and she looks exactly like Scott Bakula in a dress.
That'd be amazing.
It would be a great twist.
And it's just so Glenn Close's good. Voice just goes, oh boy.
It would be so good.
God, that would be great.
Right? So, but she doesn't. They let out Radek, who is Jürgen Prochnow, who doesn't. He's like a silent performer in this.
Totally
movie.
No dialogue. In this
the
movie.
Tramp himself.
We'll be dancing together at the Onaguru Ball.
Well, I also love that he has to like sign his stuff. Like it takes him forever to get out of this.
It's right. Like the opening scene of the Blues Brothers.
One prophylactic used.
It's outrageous. I'm like, just let this guy out of jail. It's taking forever.
It is really taking a long time. Like, you know what? He doesn't have to sign for his things. He's being pardoned by the president with a gun to his head.
Exactly.
Let's just let him go.
So then while that's all happening, I think that has to take so long because at the same time, now is the big Gary Oldman, Harrison Ford, and the First Lady fight at the again on this cargo loading part of the plane.
Harrison Ford like uses a piece of broken glass to cut out of his electrical tape. He shoots the pilot in the head, and then they start wrestling around a
really
bit.
Going for it. And we get the big fight, and he wraps the
parachute around Gary Oldman's neck. It's the very famous "Get off my plane."
Get off my plane.
That's audio directly from the movie. And it's actually, I didn't remember this.
Hey,
going.
Harrison Ford, who is your favorite comedy director?
Director David Wayne.
Hey, Harrison Ford, who is your favorite star of Deadwood?
Irish actor Ian McShane.
What's your favorite Cypress Hill song?
Insane in the Membrane.
But who's your actual favorite hip-hop artist?
T-Pain.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Harrison Ford, what's your drug of choice?
Mary Jane.
Yo, yeah. Definitely. That's without sure. Fucking question. Fuck. Looking at him on Conan O'Brien ever.
I would love to be in that room.
Oh, man, we're fucking lighting up in here. Harrison, get in the pod, brother.
Isn't it kind of weird that I was actually president for 8 years, but you were kind of a better president in that movie one time? Yeah.
Dude, Harrison Ford and Bill Clinton smoking weed together. What a fucking treasure.
And that has to amazing. Have happened at least
you
once.
You think so?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Wow. Release the tapes.
Yo, does that dude who played Chewbacca smell weird or what? I'm just imagining that. Was it Peter May? Yeah, Peter Mayhew.
I love that he's checking his facts during this high conversation.
I believe he just seems like a guy that kind of smells like Greek food all the time. Like sake sauce, you know what I mean? Where it's kind of sour, but it smells pretty good.
Yeah, that boy smells like yogurt and chives.
I feel like at this point, Harrison Ford has tuned him out.
Oh, yes. Oh, Harrison Ford has resorted to watching whatever is on TV. Closed circuit television.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Hey, man. Once this thing lands, how about we go outside and you show me how to use a whip? No reason.
Oh, whatever. But the cool thing is that I didn't remember was not only does he get tossed out the plane, but it's like neck break.
Oh, it's then beautiful.
He goes.
And yeah. You get to see like the parachute is open and he's like just dead in a parachute.
It kind of mimics the fax machine lady shot.
Oh, dude, it's like, okay, so fax machine lady gets stranded in the middle of the wilderness, and then this fucking dead terrorist drops down, Gary Oldman, and now it's just Swiss Army Man.
Man, that's a great movie.
Oh my god, and Gary Oldman's just fucking farting everywhere and fax machine lady's dragging him around. Jesus, that would be cool.
It would be amazing. Let's think about doing that.
Sure.
That should be like a sequel we make like fucking 50 years after however long it's been since this movie came out.
Fax machine lady would love to work.
By the way, anyone see this in theaters?
Oh, no, yeah. I did not.
I did.
Yeah. Opening weekend. Not. I was excited.
Yeah. And I was bummed because my mom is a huge Harrison Ford fan.
Who isn't?
And I think she saw it in theaters without me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was kind of my family didn't go to the movies together, though. I can tell you exactly how many times I've been to the movie theater with my mother. You ready for this? The Lion King.
Uh-huh.
Live action Casper. Moulin Rouge. Royal Tenenbaums.
Wow.
Really?
And that's not counting like a couple of trips to the drive-in, but that is the amount of times we saw movies in theaters together. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a lot of movies with my mother.
Boy's best friend is his mommy.
Mommy, let's go to the movies.
Mommy, thank you for taking me to Pulp Fiction when I was 11 years old.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So envious. Yeah, this was a rental, but it was like I knew what this movie was was bummed I didn't see it.
Sure.
So it was like the second that shit was out at Blockbuster. It was like they had the poster up, like getting ready for it to come out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, today's the day. Let's go this Friday for Harrison Ford.
And you got the wall of tapes.
The wall of fucking tapes, dude. Wasn't that a glorious experience?
Well, love the wall of tapes.
It was kind of nice.
So Gary Oldman's dead, but we got like 45 minutes left of this
movie. Somehow it's like, oh, how are we going to land the plane?
You can't do that, though. You can't do that.
Well, here's the thing. You could do how are we going to land the plane, and that's a fine little thing to have, to put a button on the movie. It's like, well, you landed, Mr. President. Congratulations. Welcome to Antarctica, or wherever the fuck.
Oh, man. Now there's fighter pilots on their tail.
It's like, let's rip off the end of Top Gun, I guess.
Yeah. And then there's also, like, I feel
remember how at the end of Top Gun, World War III starts, and we just kind of forget about it?
Well, maybe that's going to be addressed in Top Gun, too.
Wow, it's like post-apocalyptic.
Dude, what a fucking turn for
Top
Gun 2.
Just fucking retitle Oblivion to Top Gun 2.
Because like Top Gun ends, and it's like, hey, you know, Tom Cruise, you're not all that bad. You just passed Top Gun. Oh, by the way, there's this, like, the Russians are in MiGs, and we need to have a dog fight right now over wherever the fuck.
That movie does end on a sequel setup, kind of.
Yeah.
I need to rewatch that movie, because also it's like...
Well, you got to get ready for Top Gun 2.
Exactly. That only, but didn't we had proxy wars with the Russians. Right?
Yeah.
I heard rumors that there were American fighter pilots and Israeli jets and Russians in Egyptian jets.
Oh, really?
That's a movie.
That is a movie.
Right?
Wow.
Why not?
It's called Proxy, and it's better than that horror movie that was Proxy.
So the fighter pilots are coming, and then like some Americans come and start like fighting for the Americans. Best shot in any movie is an F-15 taking a missile for the president, not unlike a Secret Service agent.
Suicide jet.
It's outrageous, and nobody gives a fuck.
Also,
in this sequence, they doubled down on the get off my plane because they were like, I think that's going to be the big line of the movie, but maybe let me try this on for size.
Yeah. Okay?
Wait, let me just try this, Wolfgang. Get him off my tail.
And yes, that is rightfully what you're highlighting. But right before that, when these U.S. fighter pilots show up, there is a line that I feel like was Harrison Ford just fucking around, and Wolfgang Petersen was like, yeah, that's fucking funny. Let's keep the scenes. Because he's flying the plane, so it's a lot like Han Solo, and he turns around, like his daughter and wife are behind him, and William H. Macy's being co-pilot, so he's the Chewbacca in this situation. and like...
I'm William H. Macy as Chewbacca. I'm the littlest Chewbacca.
Fargo's not a planet. It's a movie.
My Yoda's back there, and he's got an ass in his cock.
No, so... When they say, like, oh, Mr. President, we're here or whatever, Harrison Ford turns around to his family and he just goes, ha ha, those guys are here.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that? That's not a line from an actor. Are
I
you
thought
kidding
he said
me?
The good guys are
yeah,
here.
Yeah, no, it's the good
oh,
guys.
Oh, the good guys. Oh, I thought he said those guys. I mean, actually, but still, ha
it's
ha, stupid. The good guys are here.
It's a dumb.
It's kind
it's
of worse.
Dumb. It's a bit worse. Yeah.
So stupid.
That's Trump.
Like, get him off my tail. Oh, yeah.
Well, the good guys are here.
They've got my ketchup.
Well, that's the thing is, like, there are so many, like, applause lines. So, like, once,
yeah.
once Gary Oldman dies, you know, Ford gets on the thing. He's like, well, we've taken back the plane. And everyone's like, yeah, we did it. Or some guy's like, we've taken back Air Force One. Like, and everyone in the room, like, loses their mind. And, like, in the audience, I remember, like, being in the audience, people were clapping at this movie.
Oh, of course.
Like, it was fucking Kramer coming out every 4 minutes.
Because this movie is America fucking kicking some ass. Mm-hmm. And it was when Russia was, like, comical to us. This, like, brief period where they were comical to us.
Yeah.
Because Boris Yeltsin was a fucking, like, crippled alcoholic.
Yeah.
It was wild times to make fun of Russia.
So the plane thing comes to nothing.
And absolutely then, nothing.
But, like, in that fight, the rudder gets blown up and, like, oh, my God, we can't land the plane. So this other plane comes over. And then, like, Xander Berkeley is like, oh, hey, I've been in this movie the whole time.
Yeah, it's so stupid. And basically they're like, all right, we're going to, like, zip line everybody. So, like, the rescue plane's above you. We're going to get this, like, you know, little harness down or whatever. And then, like... the rescue plane will go below, and you're just going to, like, shimmy everybody out.
And Harrison Ford is still like, no, my daughter first, then my wife. Oh, and this other guy took a bullet for the first thing. The guys are like, all right, Navy SEALs, this is going to happen. The president's not going to want to get on there. You have to incapacitate him. He is the first one and maybe only person that gets off the plane. I don't know.
Yep,
by the way,
exactly.
If you're still watching the movie at this point, this is where you could fall asleep.
Yeah.
This is the hangover movie where you fall asleep.
Yeah,
this
and
is the
it just takes forever.
It is just ridiculous. Long.
Take this one, that guy goes. It's the wife, then it's the daughter.
There was also
then it's
some
guy
that did jump in front of a bullet for the president, and he's just still bleeding everywhere, and they're taking him over. I'm like,
what? Harrison Ford's like, come on, buddy, you're injured. This man's injured. And the one guy rightfully is like, Mr. President, are you kidding me? And he's like, you fucking do it, Junior.
No, it's like, no. You have a little, like, you sedate the president and you right. get him on the thing. That's yep. how that works.
Exactly. So we're going through this whole thing.
You know, I want to be sedated, baby. Let's do it. Bam, 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 bam. I want to be sedated.
Hey, do you think you can play the Ramones on the saxophone? I'm going to try it out.
And they're going to go to the Rammstein Air Force Base.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Du hast
mich gefragt.
Yeah.
Du hast mich gefragt und du hast nichts gesagt.
Ooh, this podcast needs subtitles.
So, Xander Berkeley reveals himself, and I'm not even entirely sure why.
I've been thinking about it after you and I were talking about this earlier today, and I think the only reason is because they're basically like, look, we don't have time. Like, this plane is slowly crashing.
Yeah.
We only have time for one more person, and it's got to be you, Mr. President. And I think this is where Xander Berkeley's like, no, fuck this. I'm doing it. But also, like, of course you're not. Because they'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, well,
like, you could have gotten away with it all. You could have just fucking, you know, like, you didn't have to be disgraced. Like, it didn't go well. Your attempted assassination or whatever.
Right, but nobody knows because he never revealed himself. Exactly. So if he just, like, buttoned up.
Yeah.
He should be, at this point, honestly, he should be helping get people off faster.
Yes.
And he's kind of just hanging back. So then he starts freaking out. He kills one of these Air Force dudes. He kills William H. Macy.
William H. Macy has the line, which is like from another movie. I was like, it was you. And I'm like, I don't even know what your name is, William H. Macy. And I barely know what Xander Berkeley's doing in this movie.
Like, I think William H. Macy's a general.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, sure. I think that's his rank in this movie. A general who could know.
And then he gets shot and he dies. And then, like, President Punch takes out fucking Xander Berkeley.
Yep. And then so he, like, he takes him out, kind of just incapacitates him, really.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford straps the thing on himself. He flies out of the plane. Yeah. And then you see, like, this bad model of Xander Berkeley, like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
As Air Force One, like, crashes and rolls over a bunch of times and
then
shit.
CGI was... debris was spread over dude, 10 mile radius.
Computer cartoons just splatted everywhere. It was crazy.
And like he just lands on the same, like his corpse is next to the corpse of Fax Machine Lady and all the other people that tried to get off that plane because it was just a hostile territory.
Yeah.
And he gets back on Air Force One. And you know, here's the thing that sucks. This movie just ends. Like, he gets on the plane.
Yeah.
The plane becomes the new Air Force
One.
That's
when you get your last clap Woo! Line.
Yeah, it's like, the president's aboard. The, you know, FX-127 has now become Air Force One.
Woo! And everyone likes cheers.
By Michael the way, Richards comes.
Apparently, Glenn Close was in the script. Her character was supposed to break down in tears and, like, not be able to handle it. And,
at
like,
this moment? Like, this moment of victory?
Like, in the middle, like, when it was getting tough on her. And, like, God. Glenn Close was like, I'm not doing it. Like, this is, like, the first time, like, there's ever been, like, a female vice president.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, like, have her, like, break down in hysterics.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, this plane becomes Air Force One, but that's the end of the movie. Listen, I need a fucking New Hope-esque medal scene at the end of this thing, honoring, above all else, Fax Machine Lady. I need to see her coronation as Postmaster General.
The president giving himself medals. Well, I guess that was also a Purple Heart there. And,
Medal of Freedom, of course.
Yeah, well, obviously, I did that too.
Killer of the Most Terrorists, gold medal.
All right, Peter Mayhew, you get this for smelling like Greek food.
But instead, we fade to black, and that's kind of the end, which is a real bummer. I kind of feel like this is how you become president for life, right? First of all, no one would ever believe this story. If you heard this story, like, this really happens, like, oh, did you hear that the president dispatched of, like, 40 terrorists on Air Force One and saved the day? Like, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah,
Alex Jones would call it a false flag.
False flag. Well, unless Trump did.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, then it's...
Well, he probably had male vitality serum before he went on the plane. That's how he did it. He snorted a cow's stiffened penis bone.
Or whatever that magic is.
I guarantee you it's more artificial and crappier than that.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie's over. And this movie is super successful. There should have been like 3 President Punch movies. You know what I mean? This is the first one, Air Force One.
Yep.
Maybe it's Camp David is another one.
Oh, shit.
Yes, Camp David, definitely.
That's where he becomes Jason Voorhees. Mm-hmm. Well, kill, actually, kill, I mean, because you're right.
Guy.
And then the final one is 1600. It stands for two things, like the address, Pennsylvania Avenue, and also the amount of people he murdered.
I was hoping you were going to say body count. I was right there with you.
Yeah, definitely body count.
But that's, I think...
The movie ends. The sun is setting on the White House, and it's Harrison Ford digging a mass grave in the backyard. Doesn't give a fuck.
Better call it the Red House. Get out of my house. Get off my camp.
Yeah, all of
Teddy Roosevelt could have a fucking bear back here, I could mass grave. You better call your parents to pick you up because camp's over.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, nice.
But
happy campers.
We kind of do that though with these Gerard Butler, Aaron Eckhart movies.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
It's not, because those movies are way worse than this movie.
This movie has like gravitas, like bullshit gravitas for sure.
Oh, it's
like,
garbage toss.
But it's definitely garbage toss. But
it's toss nonetheless.
I would like two to three of these movies for sure.
Sure, why not? Oh. So here it is. You could do a sequel now, right? Where it's like Harrison Ford's on a book tour.
Oh, nice.
And he's got to make a stop. What's the first stop on the book tour? President punches presidential library.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Fucking. And then if you want to just keep ripping Die Hard, dude, the brother of Gary Oldman's like, fuck this, take over library.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And he's like, you added some overdue fees, punch.
I'm cutting up your ID card. Hey, the computer costs $2 a print. Crack. Photocopies are 10 cents a punch.
Yes.
Is he just working there?
he's just actually working.
It's a regular library, too.
Is this an Around the Horn recommend?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a hangover movie. It's not...
Definitely.
It's not great. It's just kind of... It is slow. It should end with Gary Oldman's death, and you get like 5 minutes of wrap-up time, and you're done. You're out of there.
Yeah, the fact that he's like murdered... 30 to 40 minutes before this movie ends is really unfortunate.
Yeah, it's way too long, but it's a light recommend. It's, you know, it's a little slow in parts. I remember I was more bored than I remembered being bored with this movie. I feel like in the 90s it was more exciting. What do you think, Chris Cabin? Oh, wait, you're on vacation?
Sick burn. I totally agree with you. And I think, like, if you're ripping off Die Hard, the thing that's most noticeable is the fact that Harrison Ford has one cool quip, and John McClane's got like 1,000.
Exactly.
So when this dude is just like walking around an office building killing people, it's still entertaining versus this where it's like, all right, he killed that stunt double, he killed that stunt double, all silently,
He killed Wishmaster, okay.
That's Air Force One, directed by Wolfgang Peterson. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com or find us over at the HeadGum Network page. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at @WHMPodcast. And write into that mailbag, especially you Air Force One experts. We all hate movies at gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Let me say on the air right now, I think we said it last week, maybe. I don't know, but I want to say it again to address it. We're not on Spotify anymore. We're still getting questions about that. We switched distribution platforms, you guys. So unfortunately, we are not on Spotify. That old Libsyn app is not going to update anymore. So
figure it out.
There it is.
Billy, another Stitcher and all sorts of great stuff. You can
totally. So we can still, you can get us at all sorts of places. But unfortunately, Spotify and the Libsyn app are kaput. Next week on the program, the summer blockbuster extravaganza wraps the fuck up.
The season finale.
The season finale of We Hate Movies Season 7.
I've heard through the grapevine.
Uh-huh.
A California raisin told me this. Uh-huh. Chris Cabin will be back for that episode.
Oh my gosh.
He'll be back in studio. He's had to have a little sojourn, but he's going to be back. And we're going to be talking about Sam Raimi's motherfucking Spider-Man 3.
Oh mercy.
Oh mercy indeed. So get ready for that on the season finale of We Hate Movies. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.